Hi, I'm Faye.
I'm Dylan.
I'm Donna.
I'm Stevie.
I'm Adam.
And I believe you're in a band, and that band name will be called...
Little Green Cars.
So I have the right people.
You do.
The first American tour. You know, I've seen The Commitments. It's like, oh my gosh. It always gets a laugh, but it's true. You know, oh my gosh, coming to America.
Maybe it's a bit of a cliche to say, you know, for us Irish people to be coming to America and it being the biggest trip of our lives. But kind of, it was like that. You kind of grow up with, you know, the thought of America is big, you know, it's a big deal to come here and do anything, you know. So it was very exciting. It wasn't exciting, it's like Disneyland. Some of us, it was our first time in America. Was it you? First time in America? No? Who's?
You.
Oh,
yours.
It's just me. It's just me. Yeah, it was my first time in America. All, I think it's fair to say that a lot of this band's influences come from America. So it's great to be able to walk in the same streets and see the same things that they did and experience all the kind of history. So that was cool.
How did you land up getting signed? Did Glassnote discover you? Did you discover them? How did that all happen?
Well, I think our manager had a contact with Phoenix's manager, so that kind of sparked a few whatever you want. And yeah, they approached us, and then things went from there. It just fit.
And did
like
you
that.
Did you say from moment one this was the place? This made sense because the kind of bands that were on there, or because you liked them because they were indie but had influence? Or?
I don't think we worried about who was on the label. It was just, you know. Well, I mean, I know a lot of us like bands that are on the label, but it was about being comfortable with people that you work with and respecting someone that's working with you. You know what I mean? Because when you respect them, then you trust them. And then when they're doing things, when you're not around, you're not freaking out going, what are they doing? You know, I don't have any control over, you know, it's about like trusting people that you're not going to lose control over your music. Well, our manager approached us when we were like 17 and just kind of basically said straight up, I can help you if you want, it's your choice.
And how did you know he was the guy? Because how many people can approach you, you know, and say, I'm in the music industry, I'm going to be your manager?
Well, I think at that time, like, when you're 17, like, I think if anyone approaches, we would have been like, woohoo, yay!
Yeah, but that's as dangerous as it is cool, right?
It's dangerous, but I think that we were just blessed with somebody who knows the industry inside out and actually has our best interests at heart, as opposed to just, you know, we're all in it together.
The John Wayne, there's kind of a tale of lost love relating to that, is there not?
There is, yeah. I was out with my brother. We were in a bar, and there was a girl there. She was from America. She was a... I've been told not to say this before, but I'll say it anyway. She was American. She was a right-wing Republican. She was a born-again Christian. She didn't like my style, I suppose. And, I was all torn up about it, and just when I went home, I started writing the song, and thought, well, I'm not allowed, I was home, obviously, it was like 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm not allowed to play drums in the house after 10 o'clock, so I built a drum kit.
Out of what?
There was a Byron, used the hi-hats for the cymbals, and there was just a pot. Pasta strainer. Just,
you know, pasta strainers are great because the little holes,
yeah, very
you
resonant.
Get some really, really good resonance there. Yeah.
But and so I was recording that drum kit, and I called it the Quiet Drum Kit, and then thought of the John Wayne movie, The Quiet Man, and so I named the drum kit the John Wayne. So in the original recording, when it says the John Wayne, it's supposed to be this kind of introduction of the drum kit, but then once we were allowed to expand on the lyrics, when we re-recorded the song, our friend Marcus, and to be less formal, it was about how American she was, and how when someone shoots you down, the literal person who's going to shoot you down is John Wayne. So.
And over there, you're already playing some of the bigger festivals, right? You play, but you get here, and like you were talking about that first tour, you're schlepping stuff on the subway.
Oh, hard. If one person thinks you're the greatest person in the world instead of 1,000 people thinking you're all right, you know, that's a good aspiration to have.
I use the word lush. I love the word, for records like yours, I like the word lush. Because it's got lots of layers to it, but it's still purdy, and it's still got, back to the commitments, it's still got soul. Right? So was that your intent when you chose him as a producer, or did the label say to you, hey, he'd be great? How did you go about it?
Well, back in the like drawing board stages of like when we were thinking way back when, if we could we, perhaps one day we would be able to make a record, we were like, oh, everyone was like, we'd love to do it with him. Because like, I know me and Dills, one of our favourite records is Wall of Arms by the Maccabees. And we all love, obviously, Suburbs and, you know, everything else he's done. So when it came around to choosing producers, it was like, oh, we'll go on a limb here, maybe he will, maybe he won't. And he said no.
He said,
I'm too busy. I've got stuff to do. I'm not doing any more records right now. No. So we were like, okay, well, that was expected. Like, it was a dream. And then he listened to it and came back and said, I want to do it.
So the music provided.
Exactly.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, and I think in terms of, like, did we go for him because we wanted a big sound? I don't think so. I think it was just because we admired him. And I think when we met him, it was a different story because he wanted to capture what we had done ourselves live. It wasn't like Stephen would say, it was the anti-production album in a sense. You know what I mean? Like, he kind of was like, I want to capture you raw. I mean, when we did work with David Costin, it was very experimental to us. And that was only one track which we had done. You know, I don't think he didn't wave a wand and go, I'm going to make you massive and give you a huge sound. It was like, you know, he really liked our what we had done. And he didn't go, I'm going to, you know, change everything around. It was kind of just this trust.
But what he did do is he got the heart.